Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Hump Day. Devil's Advocates, happier happy hour, and it gets happier all the time. Thank you, Ben Wickler, Democratic Party Chair, for joining us in the last hour. And now we got a fine guest. He's a friend of ours. He's Bill Press, pundit, podcaster, and very prescient. Bill Press, you were so out front the Kevin McCarthy issue. Dude, you were saying this like a year ago, like Kevin McCarthy will never be speaker. And man, have you been right on this one? I love a man who's right. I'm gonna favor you over Dom for a while.
Hey, Bill, welcome back, man.
Well, happy New Year to both of you. Number one,
you too.
And number two, thank you for recognizing the fact. I told you, save the tape. I want to say the sweetest four words in the English language. I told you so.
And you did, Bill. You got it right on the money, but. But it's only been six votes. They could go on for days like this.
I know. It's not over yet. I mean, you have to say there is the now ever more remote possibility, you know, that I just saw they came out of a meeting and the moderates were saying we had a good meeting. You know what I call that? I think that's BS. That's Kevin McCarthy. After every loss, he says the next time we're going to get to 218. Right. So I think that's just talk. But I have to admit, there's this remote possibility he could still pull it off. But I don't think it's going to happen. And my prediction I come back to is, and there, I just saw that Ken Buck says, you know, we can't go on like this forever. It's time to start looking for somebody else. And he said, maybe Steve Scalise. I think part of my prediction was no McCarthy, but will end up being Steve Scalise. It's not going to be Jim Jordan. It's not going to be this guy McDonald's that none of us have ever heard of. It's not going to be Andy Biggs. I think that they'll come back and just, you know, it's like that group of senators that went down and told Nixon, you're not going to make it, man. You better get out of here. They're going to meet them with Kevin McCarthy and say, back to Bakersfield, dude, you know, and convince Steve Scalise he's got to take the job. By the way, who the hell wants that job?
Right. Well, Bill, let me point out, there's still the improbable Hail Mary from the Democratic side. Now, the Democrats know Hakeem Jeffries is not going to be the speaker this term, but they could make Kevin McCarthy the speaker. And in fact, Brad Sherman, a Democrat from California, is floating the idea that they could basically be more willing negotiating partners with Kevin McCarthy than the intransigent Republicans. But what Democrats would want is no government shutdowns, no debt limit crisis, you know, some logical restraints on, you know, Republican governance. Could you see a deal like that? I know it seems implausible, but could a deal like that come together?
Hell no. First of all, Brad Sherman is a friend of mine. He lives, I can see the back of his house. Right out my window, right? So he lives right around the corner. Known him, California, right? I was California's Democratic chair. He was member of the Board of Equalization. So we worked well together, and I helped him get elected the first time. But he's wrong about this. Why should Democrats help Kevin McCarthy, right? I mean, come on. And that's what they're saying. Well, if Democrats would only vote for McCarthy, that might be better than, you know, like somebody else. Kevin McCarthy is about as conservative as you can get. What has he called for, right? He said he's going to investigate Hunter Biden. He's going to investigate Joe Biden, right? He's going to investigate the Department of the Secretary of Homeland Security. He wants a nationwide ban on abortion. I mean, you can't. And he also says he wants to shut down the government and no more spending deals and no money for Ukraine. You're going to help that dude? No, no way. So the idea that, which has been floated, that the Democrats would just not show up, right? So the number comes down and Kevin McCarthy doesn't need 218. Maybe he can squeak by with 212 or 211 or something. There's no way that Democrats will, I believe, say certainly should not help Kevin McCarthy any way whatsoever. He's the enemy.
Folks are listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. He's our friend, Bill Press. Thanks for coming around once again, Bill. So the influence or lack thereof of the former president, Bill, I want to get your take on this. So, you know, Kevin's my guy. Then Trump last night waffling perhaps a little bit, came out today strong for Kevin. But with every subsequent vote, like, Kevin's getting further and further away from his goal. What does that say about the influence of the former president, in your opinion, Bill?
I think it says, by the way, that is true. This is my Kevin, right?
Yeah.
My Kevin, who after losing his senses maybe for like 3 minutes and blaming Donald Trump correctly for January 6th, then he said, oh, my God, I went off the rails. So he hops on a plane and he runs down to Mar-a-Lago and kisses Donald Trump's ass and makes up with him and everything. What did that get him? Got him nothing. Donald Trump didn't do anything to help him at all until this morning. And suddenly he realizes, oh, my God, this is going to look bad if my guy doesn't win. It's too late, dude. Too late. I think it shows that the influence of Donald Trump, really, the kingmaker of Donald Trump, we saw that in the midterms. So many of his candidates, his Senate candidates, lost. That's what Mitch McConnell says, why they lost the Senate. Because Donald Trump put up the worst possible candidates, and the only reason he did is because they agreed to promulgate the lie, repeat the lie, that Donald Trump won the 2020 election. So I think Donald Trump's influence is shot, Scott. And anybody who thinks that that's good enough to win an election anymore, it might have been a couple of years ago in the Republican primary. It's not today. Yeah.
Bill, in defense of...
You have two losers, you know? You got Donald Trump and Kevin McCarthy, the two biggest losers in the Republican Party. And by the way, just if, and I still don't think it's going to work, Kevin McCarthy does squeak through. I mean, what kind of a speaker is he going to be? What kind of power will he be? He's not going to be running the Republicans in the House. These 20 crazy guys are going to be running the House. They've proven that they can get anything they want out of Kevin McCarthy, and he cannot oppose them.
I would say in defense of Kevin McCarthy, you talk about why would a Dem come over? This is the enemy and all these things he said he would do. He is Kevin McCarthy. He'll say anything to try to get the speakership, Bill. At least that's my impression. It's great to see, and I guess I'm not surprised to see the Republican Party in disarray like they are, Bill. They've brought it on themselves and all those kinds of things. But I'm wondering how worried should we be like right now on a geopolitical scale? If something terrible goes on around the world right now, you know, are we as a country prepared to respond like adults? I'm concerned about that, Bill. What's your thought?
I'm not too worried about that. Look, this is going to work itself out one way or the other by the end of the week, right? I think, or even if it takes 2 weeks, it's going to work itself out. There will be some kind of leader in the House. And I think what it shows is that more and more initiation of legislation and success and is going to be in the Senate. Look, let's not forget the split screen today, right?
Yeah, totally.
Kevin McCarthy, chaos in the House, Mitch McConnell and Joe Biden talking about how important the infrastructure legislation was. Now, you put those side by side, and I think it's pretty clear what the American people want to see is they want to get stuff done, right? They understand there's got to be compromise. They want to get stuff done. Joe Biden's getting stuff done.
Bill, right? Let's talk about that for a minute. Joe Biden had 7 major pieces of legislation so far during his presidency, 5 of them bipartisan. Is McConnell slipping? That's the question I would ask, Bill.
Is McConnell what?
Slipping. Why would he let Joe have this success? That doesn't seem like the turtle senator from Kentucky.
He sees the writing on the wall, Crudy.
I have to say, Mitch McConnell is now, he's not the longest living Republican leader in the House for nothing, right? He's a wily old dude that I disagree with on almost everything. But survival, he's got it down, right? Survival for him and survival for his party. And I think, you know, I mean, look, building new bridges, building new highways, right? Or repairing the ones that we got, new sewer systems, new clean water systems. All of that is good stuff, right? That sells to voters Democrats and Republicans.
I'm less convinced to Republican primary voters. Here's a bold prediction I've made, Bill. Donald Trump will be your 2024 Republican nominee. As much as they hate that, he will be the nominee and that craven party will come crawling back.
You're not necessarily wrong. I must say, I hope he is.
Me too.
Because I want to see Joe Biden humiliate him even more. The last time it was 7 million votes. I'd like it to be 20 million votes. Yeah, and just squash that bug forever, right?
But you can see the math.
And Trump and Trumpism forever.
But Bill, you could see a bunch of candidates jumping in the pool in Donald Trump. Whether or not, you know, he's on the outs with the party, he's still the figurehead of the party. He could still pull off 35% and winner take all primaries. He runs the table and suddenly he's your nominee.
Let me just say, that's why I say you're not entirely wrong. Republicans are dumb enough to do that all over again.
If I was entirely wrong.
And I hope they do. I hope they do.
If I was entirely wrong, I'd declare myself a Republican. Bill Press, our good friend. Buddy, stick around. I got a few more questions for you. I want more bold predictions out of you. Come back. He's a podcaster. He's a pundit. He's a friend of ours. Bill, did you drop a new one yesterday? New podcast?
A new podcast. Yes. Oh, yes.
Who's your guest this week?
No, Hunter Walker. Hunter Walker, you know, he's now with back at Talking Points Memo.
Well, hold that thought. Bill, I didn't give you enough time. Right. I screwed it up. Come back, more devils. I'll keep screwing it up for you.
Come on, show a little backbone, will you?
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Bill Press, he's a podcaster, he's a pundit, he's a prognosticator. He's sticking around for another segment. Thank you, Bill. You know, lamenting poor Mike Kevin McCarthy and his 6 losses today. Well, he did get one vote, Bill. George Santos apparently has cast his vote. You know, this guy who, if that's his real name, we don't know. How does a guy like this get elected, and how the hell does this guy stay in Congress, Bill?
Well, first of all, my column in The Hill newspaper yesterday, the headline was George Santos for Speaker. Yeah. Because, to me, he represents everything the Republican Party stands for today, right? Which is, don't tell the truth about anything. And if they were looking for somebody who best embodies the Donald Trump Republican Party, to me, it's George Santos. It's just that his lies, there are many of them, as you point out, you know, everything he said about his family or his career or whatever is all a lie. But they're not quite on the scale of the lies of Donald Trump, right? So he's got to grow up. I mean, but Donald Trump told the bigger lies, but next to him, it's George Santos. Unbelievable. I want to know, how the hell did the New York Democratic Party not spot this guy as a phony from the beginning? He ran 2 years ago, was a joke. And this time, they sort of, I think, took for granted that such a lightweight could not win, right? And they blew it.
Bill,
I don't know. So he's, look, He's not in Congress yet because he can't be sworn in because there's no speaker.
Well, that was my two-part question. One was going to be another opportunity to tell us who your fine podcast guest was. The other one is, if there is no effectively sworn in Congress, does the House of Representatives even exist right now, Bill? You know, no one's been sworn in. The staff stops getting paid about 10 days from now. At some point, they stop functioning as a government unless they recognize themselves through the election of a speaker.
Again, I wouldn't get too worried about that. The democracy is going to collapse because Kevin McCarthy can't get 218 votes, right? You know, from our I pointed Brad Sherman's house is that way, right? So our bedroom is up there, right? And we can see
that's where the magic happens, Bill.
We can see the Capitol Dome. And when I see at nighttime the light on the Capitol Dome, meaning they're still there in business, I get worried, right? So if they can't do anything right now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But the truth of it is, the House of Representatives as a functioning body does not exist today. They cannot do anything. They can't assign people to committees. They can't assign, technically, they can't assign people to where they, where their offices are, even though Kevin McCarthy moved in to the Speaker's office a day early. That could have been his fatal mistake, right? They can't do anything. So they can't swear in new members. They can't even have ceremonial swearings in.
Well, and I gotta be honest. You know, some of these Republicans, Bill, they make a little sense in this regard. You know, the money and the politics and all, you know, some of that argument. I think there's some bipartisan efforts. People, you know, people want to get some money out of government. But Matt Gaetz, what, wrote a letter to the landlord of D.C. or whatever the case was and said, hey, how is the guy who got less votes than Hakeem Jeffries able to move in to the Speaker's office? I'm thinking, well, you don't even need to be an elected to Congress to serve in the speakership, Bill. I'm thinking about going and squatting myself. I mean, I got just as much chance, don't I?
You have as much right to squat there as Kevin McCarthy does. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I thought Matt Gaetz was right on that point. And by the way, back, that's, again, part of Kevin's problem. He wants it so bad that all he's about is wanting to be speaker. Anything else goes. Nothing else matters. Doesn't believe in anything else. He'll do anything, as you said earlier, for that. The podcast. Here's my shameless plug for the podcast. Hunter Walker's one of the best investigative reporters out there today. Anyhow, so Hunter's the one who dug into the he's got sources in the January 6th committee, and he's the one who uncovered this trove of texts between Mark Meadows, all about January 6th, and Republican members of Congress. So it wasn't just Donald Trump who was stirring this stuff up. There were 34 Republican members of Congress who sent over 400 texts to Mark Meadows with all these conspiracy theories about how to keep Donald Trump in office and how to prevent Joe Biden from ever being sworn in. And those texts started on November 3rd, 2020, while the votes were still being counted. They were texting Mark Meadows with all this BS about Italy is controlling the votes from somewhere in the mountains of Italy to George Soros to Venezuela, all this crazy stuff. Again, they were, and Mark Meadows was right in the middle of it. He was the ringleader.
Bill, were any of those messages suggestions to perhaps getting more voters than Joe Biden?
Yes, electors, fake electors, slates of electors, the whole waterfront, if you will, right? And but again, 34 Republican members of Congress were actively engaged in this conspiracy to overthrow the United States government, working with the chief of staff of the president of the United States.
Bill, do you see
explosive stuff?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you see our own U.S. senator from the great state of Wisconsin was pressuring one of the false Trump electors and apparently the entire Wisconsin Republican legislature to assert more control and basically declare their ability to cast the electoral votes on behalf of the will of the Republican legislature instead of the will of the Wisconsin voters. Last minute, Bill Press, what do you think about Rojo's latest?
That's in front of the Supreme Court right now. That's this whole independent state legislator theory, which is absolutely crazy, nuts, unconstitutional. And Rojo is one of the big supporters of that. And by the way, I have to say, you have the best state chair in the entire country in Ben Wickler in Wisconsin. So I'm so glad he was on the show. He's a good friend. He's a great guy. We need more state chairs like him. If we had him in New York, there'd be no George Santos, baby.
Bill, who do you like, Packers or Detroit Lions this Sunday?
Flip a coin, baby. I don't know.
Come on, man. Always bet on the Cheeseheads. Bill Press. All right. Always bet on the Bill Press podcast, dropping every Tuesday. Thanks for coming around, Bill. We'll talk real soon.
Good
Thanks,
to see
Bill.
You guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man.
Kevin! I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says.
I want you to want me.
The Devil's Advocates. Radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the hump day, the happier, happy hour. Oh, man, always great when Bill Press comes around. He's a favorite. So we're having a damn fine show, and you can always be a part. Make it just a little better at 844-967-2789. If there's a theme of today's show, it's the GOP's in disarray.
It's they so really true. Are.
They really are. Are they not? We do not over-conflate this, but this has been just a terrible news cycle after news cycle. Really, life got really bad when Donald Trump came on the scene, and it's all been downhill from there.
You know, I think he just kind of, you know, he's like pulled all of this to the surface, you know? I mean, he allowed all these people to be who they really, really want to be, and, you know, the Republican Party, the megas, they've been technically cultivating this for a very long time. So, and when you put people in office that who are, you know, that don't want to govern, that think that governance is bad, that think the federal government is bad, yet they want, you know, they want to get paid, they want the benefits, they want to do the job, but they don't want to actually govern, then you shouldn't be surprised when they vote to not govern. That's what they want to do.
So Donald Trump, if I understand you, Dom, it's kind of like that skin cleaning product you always see on the Facebook feeds where, you know, like you rub it on your face and all the blackheads, all the pimples, all the stuff that comes out of your pores just rises to the surface. Right? That is Donald Trump, and the blackheads and the pimples in this case would be the Republicans, especially those that serve in the U.S. House, at least if they ever get their you-know-what together, if there ever is another U.S. House. Because until they vote to recognize themselves through establishment of a leader, they do not yet exist. Well, there is no new Congress.
It's one thing to see how long this takes. I mean, what was the longest was, what, several months, I believe, way back in the day.
Go for it.
We haven't done it for 100 years. This is the first time a speaker has lost in the first vote or the first time. So it's gone like this. So, you know, this is somewhat uncharted grounds, man. And I'm not clear that Kevin McCarthy has an actual path forward. I don't know how he cuts the deals. When you got people that are never going to vote for you, ever, 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 no matter what, and they'd vote for all the same Trumpy things you want, they just are not going to vote for you. You can't give enough away to get them to vote for you.
Okay, let's say you're moving into a condo and you need the approval of at least half the board members, right? And all the tenants get one vote, one equal vote. Would you start moving into the condo if you knew you had opposition for more than half of the condo board members? Would you just wing it and tell the movers to start putting stuff?
You know, there is a fake it till you make it philosophy. I mean, maybe he thinks that if he's there somehow by osmosis, he will become the speaker. But think about everybody else, man. You know, the congressman elect. They're with their families, maybe some elder parents and young kids. You know, here it's a big day for us, and they're sitting around. What are they gonna you know, keep the hotel room, keep that tab ticking, keep the dinners going? I mean, it's going to start wearing on all sorts of people in all sorts of different ways the longer this crap show rolls on. And honestly, they get weaker and weaker and more dysfunctional with every passing minute.
Do you think George Santos is either dead or not dead mom is thinking, that George, you know, he keeps saying he got elected to Congress, but no proof thereof.
I saw that he didn't go into his office or near the office because, what, he had press there today. I mean, it's going to be a miserable existence for that dude, no matter what comes down.
Do you see the thing, the Journal Sentinel here in the great state of Wisconsin? They had some embedded video. You told me about it. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson flying into Mitchell and apparently being confronted by an activist. What was that about, Dom?
Oh, the activist, and Ron Johnson was accompanied by four police officers. I would remind you, or tell the audience if you didn't know, back in the day when Rojo used to come around, hell, half the time on Brady Street in Milwaukee, he would come in alone, walk into the studio by himself. Now he's walking through the airport with four cops. So, you know, maybe that's a reflection of your life decisions, Mr. Johnson. But the activist, a citizen with her phone, was asking Ron Johnson how his chief of staff is still on the payroll, you know, regarding this is her beef or grievance being this phony elector scam and his staff's involvement in it, and certainly his as well.
Do you think Ron takes the four staffers when he goes down to Vicky McKenna's show?
The four cops he was walking with? I don't know. And so
I haven't seen that many cops.
Flying in and out of Mitchell a couple times a year, man. He ended up leaving the scene, ducking into a stairwell with the police officers to avoid this lady who was asking him some legitimate questions.
Now you understand why Rojo insists on flying private jet owned by his children with a great tax break. You're welcome, Grandpa.
That he voted for. Yes, yes.
844-967-2789. Is that Andy in the queue? Make sure that's Andy. I don't want to get it wrong. We'll get to the phones in just a minute. Be like, I believe, Andy in the queue at 844-967-2789. I'm not sure how this resolution comes down. Will there be resolution? Will there be a speaker? Or will this Republican Party just spiral out of control? I mean, the people elected them. This is what they wanted. This is your representation.
Yeah, I think people like Matt Gaetz, they're doing what they think those, you know, hard right mega Republicans want him to do. But again, that's also contradictory to, you know, the cult leader. I mean, if the cult leader tells you to drink the Kool-Aid and you don't drink the Kool-Aid, you're not much of a cult leader. I mean, you know, Donald Trump went out there on Truthy Socials and said, hey, support my Kevin. And Matt Gaetz said, sad. You know what I mean? So if Matt Gaetz isn't afraid of Donald Trump, who's gonna be?
Well, not Bill Press. Bill Press has got that part right. I mean, he saw this one coming from miles away. I think we've got some clarity on the callers. 844-967-2789. Andy, the most patient from Beaver Dam. Welcome back, Andy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Andy.
Well, I think it's gonna be a bright year for Civic Radio and the Devils. You'll have Green Bay opened up before the end of the month, probably.
And, well, I'd like to think. And in the playoffs, right. No doubt. Talking about the Packers, right. Not just the radio yeah. Stations.
No. It's all good. But Bill Press, I don't know what it would take to get him to come to Madison again, but that guy would definitely draw, and especially when you got all these people all over the state involved in the Civic Radio, you know, this guy could, you know, I mean, you'd be...
We're going to wait till the weather gets nicer, Andy. I mean, who wants to party when it's... One week it's snowing, the next
July,
week you're...
You know.
Bomb cyclone. Yeah, so we'll right. Yeah. We'll bring him, yeah, you know, for one of the summer festivals. We'll make it Bill Press Day.
Right, right. That would be great, because that guy is... He has so much insight. And he's a real blast, you know. I mean, he just tells it like it is, and he's not afraid, you know.
Well, Andy, and he likes partying with these Cowboys. I'm telling you, Bill Press can party, and the Devil's Advocates like to party, so we got that in common, if nothing else. And we know you like to party as well, Andy. It is always a political party up here at 844-967-2789. Rico from Rock County, man. Welcome to the party, pal.
Hey, Rico.
Hey, how you guys doing there?
Good, man.
Curry, I got to appease you on this. I mean, I smell what you're stepping in, so I'm going to. And you're just not. You know what? How about them Packers, man? Yes, sir. I just had to say that, you know.
What about my Packers are going to the playoffs? What kind of trash are you talking
about? Detroit first, Rico.
I'm not talking any. I'm on your side. Don't
okay.
You understand.
All right.
No, I just felt like you kept bringing the Packers up and wasn't getting a whole lot of enthusiasm. So I just wanted to say, how about them Packers, man? I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it every day.
You know,
it seems like deja vu.
Dominic and I went to a tattoo parlor in Madison, Wisconsin to get our very first tattoos. We share a birthday weekend. He actually shares a birthday with Donald Trump. I have a normal birthday. I share it with Herbert Walker Bush. But we went to a tattoo joint, and I just got some weird Mexican sunshine off the wall. And Dom got the Detroit D on his shoulder, the first of many tattoos for him, my one and only. But Dom wears the colors, and they haven't won since he got that tattoo. That was his 28th birthday, Rico. That's been going on 25 years. And I don't think Detroit's won the Central since then.
Yeah. You got that right.
I think they made the playoffs once, Rico.
Listen,
hey, but we can always help. Any political thoughts today, Rico?
Oh, God, where do I start? I just love this stuff about Rojo, man. Just more and more and more and more come out. What could you say about this guy? And how in God's green earth did he even get elected again? There's just this, oh, my God. Well, where do you start with a guy? Where do you really start with a guy like Ron? I called in. I nominated him for the douchebag. Still say he should have won. I mean,
that was some tough competition, though, Rico. We certainly appreciate the nomination, but you know, CJ, that's a tough one to beat. But thank you for playing along. We certainly appreciate it. You can play along as well. 844-967-2789.
If you're late to the party, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, reportedly through the January 6th transcripts, according to the testimony of Andrew Hitt, the former Republican Party chair here in the state of Wisconsin, Rojo's coup plot, and it seemed like he was sort of singular in this, but I don't know, maybe he had some Trump lawyer, maybe Jim Troupas, supporting this effort. But Rojo's bright idea was effectively have the state legislature pick. Will the voters be damned? I mean, the 4-3 decision had already come down at the Wisconsin Supreme Court before the fraudulent Trump electors ever cast their lot at the Capitol that day on December 14th of 2020. And it's ironic, the coverage. Oh, they had a hard time getting into the locked Capitol, because if you'll recall, Don, we had a similar case, and our defense was going to be to call the false Trump electors, the fraudulent criminal Trump electors. And Andrew Hitt, through counsel, was like, please, please, please don't make me testify. And the ADA here in Dane County apparently dropped charges 13th hour. You know, way to drag us out for 18 months before you got around to dropping it.
Right.
We were. So anyways, you know how.
Well, of course, because if they got into the building, we got in the building, then we have to testify under oath about the circumstances of getting in that building. But that testimony that you referenced from the Wisconsin, the former Wisconsin GOP leader talking with the communications person and you know, not really looking forward to this whole plot, you know, worried this is not going to work or they're up to no good. But ultimately, what, decided to get in separate cars and talk about which three of the Capitol building rooms to hide in while they kept their mouths shut about trying to do this whole deal at the advice of Attorney Rudy Giuliani. I mean, these are the folks that were conspiring to do this that ultimately did it. And if you are not going to walk into the Capitol and have a press conference and stand by what you believe to be right and constitutional and righteous, then you're up to no good. And you don't deserve to be anywhere near the halls of power. And the old boss is just like the new boss, Brian Shimmy. Now the new Wisconsin GOP head was also having these very same conversations with Giuliani and others regarding this conspiracy to overthrow the government and the will of the people.
Well, Dominic, I would say the testimony of Andrew Hitt might have been a little self-serving in that Andrew Hitt eventually did sign off. He was a fraudulent Trump elector. Mark Jefferson, the one he bemoaned the plot to, was also in the room when the false elector scheme was being signed off on in the Wisconsin State Capitol. You know, so any after-the-fact regrets expressed during testimony, very self-serving. You know what I mean? Trying to keep his ass out of jail. Charged, never convicted. We'll see with you, Andrew Hitt. Maybe you as well, Rojo. Come back. One last segment of the Devil's Advocates. You can be a part. 844-96-PARTY.
Yeah, I was not involved in this at all, you know. So I don't know why you're even asking the questions. So why don't you just leave me alone?
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and we're all out of bubble gum.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, last segment of this hump day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, 2 days ago on this program, we had Judge Everett Mitchell. He is a Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate. And after he left the airwaves with me, he informed me that he was aware that Daniel Bice was writing what, you know, Daniel Bice has become famous for, which is sort of a Page Six style hit piece. And the allegations against the judge, Everett Mitchell, is that he had non-consensual sex with his ex-wife. It was brought up during a custody dispute, and he apparently won over the court because he was given primary placement of the child despite the allegation by the ex-wife against him. Here is how he responded to the charges in the Journal Sentinel. And when I say charges, allegations, there were no charges whatsoever leveled. So I just want to be clear on the language I use. Unequivocally, no, I never abused Marin. I never hurt Marin. I never assaulted her whatsoever, Mitchell said in a recent interview. All of this came up when she was trying to get our daughter. It was never brought to my attention until she started swinging accusations when she did not get approval to move our daughter out of state. So these are allegations. It was a horrible divorce by the ex-wife's own admission in the quote she gives. Here's what she said specifically. It was a horrible divorce. It was filled with pain from the death of my sister. It was filled with some mental health challenges across the board. That's what the lady said of her own divorce. Subsequently, the child in question is thriving. She's in college, doing quite well for herself. Both parties remarried and have children that are thriving and apparently get along with one another, according to the reporting I've read. So it's an allegation made in the court record, but it was not substantiated with any charges or criminal sort of allegations. And the person at the receiving end says, did not happen. Didn't happen. And the ex-wife says, you know what? Judge him, and specifically says in this article, judge him by the work he has done as a judge. You know, tell me if he's qualified as a judge. I think that's probably good advice. Everett Mitchell will be extended time to respond on the air. I wanted to let you know, we're not failing to acknowledge this. The guy was just on our show 2 days ago, didn't know it was going to drop when he appeared. I don't think he was hiding it from me. In fact, I think he regrets he didn't bring it to my attention sooner because he would have wanted to address it publicly. So we will give him the opportunity. I've extended a time. We'll see if it works into a schedule. It'll be in the very short run, though. 844-967-2789. Got some friends waiting. Don't see CJ, so mostly friends just waiting. 844-96-PARTY. Wisco Paul, you're always welcome at the party, pal. How you doing?
Hey, Paul.
Well, thank you, Devils. I appreciate it. Boy, I tell you, the Congress is a mess. I don't think the Republicans, they don't govern. I've never really seen anything like this. I guess they got to go back to the Civil War. Believe it or not, that's before I was born. Rojo, I can't believe Rojo is a sitting senator for this state. It just boggles my mind, boys. I don't know how he won. Maybe the Democratic Party can learn something from how they lost this guy. It's an amazing thing.
Wisco, Paul, I would encourage you to read. There's a very recent Time magazine article specifically about Mandela's candidacy. And my takeaway is maybe a little different than Ben Wickler. He's quoted in the piece. I'm just a casual observer. Ben Wickler said effectively he got outspent at critical times that Mandela did, that there were national funders, and there was even an implication that he was too progressive, and they're worried if they, you know, give too much power to the progressive side of the party that they'll lose control. And the big donors like to have a little control over the Democrats, just like the donors like to have control over the Republicans. But I think it was Mordecai Lee, one of the quoted parties, I believe from UW-Madison, he said, you know what? The Democrats should have learned back in the John Kerry race that you got to fight fire with fire. You've got to respond in real time. And if you didn't strategically plan to respond to the inevitable attacks on, you know, you're black, you're easy on bail, Kenosha, I mean, they knew all of these accusations were coming. And I love Mandela Barnes. As a dude, I wish he was my U.S. senator. But I can tell you, the brain trust, when I was reaching out in real time, Wisco Paul, saying, come on, man, give me something stronger than peanut butter sandwiches, they did not. And they did not choose to place him on Lefty Talk Radio. They had other ideas. And maybe it was dialing for dollars. Maybe the guy had a totally dial for dollars, Paul. I don't know. But what I'm telling you is they could have responded in real time. There were platforms available. And part of the brain trust decision-making process, they were very satisfied with their response in August and in September when I said, hey, consider something different.
Those people should never run another campaign for anybody ever again, period. Never, because he wasn't fully vetted to begin with. They had to know this stuff was coming. They didn't use your radio station. They didn't preach to the choir. And they couldn't turn out the vote in Milwaukee, Crudy. So I'm stuck with Jaron Johnson, a treasonous senator. Before I get any more off the deep end here, thanks for listening to me and have a great night.
Thank you, Wisco.
All right, Paul. Thanks,
I suspect Corey Kozlowski will fight in future employment. I mean, really, Mandela outperformed the polls. It was so close. I mean, this 2020 hindsight, it stings because he could have won. Otherwise, if he got crushed, it wouldn't matter. Look at Dan Kelly.
Al from Stoughton, you are next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, maybe this is a question for tomorrow, but regarding the circus over on the Republican side of the House of Representatives, I'm not a political strategist, but what would keep the 212 Democrats in the House to privately caucus, come up with the name of a moderate Republican and put that name forward for nomination and see if they could get six Republicans to vote with them and we end up with a moderate Republican Speaker of the House?
I'm not sure. I think at this point, because McCarthy is the caucus chair, he may still control the flow of what's happening on the floor. I mean, they're the party in power, the Republicans are, although they can't seemingly elect a speaker, but he has been elected caucus chair. He may control the vote on the floor. But ultimately, if they, you know, once it starts, you can pipe up. You could vote for Dominic.
Dems have no reason to get in right now and save the Republicans from themselves, Al. That's my answer. Thank you, Bill Press. Thank you, Ben Wickler. Stick around. We have more programming next, and we'll be back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
I don't feel like my time here has been particularly successful.
Seems bad at this.